This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah. ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Among the signs that your iman is true is that you find yourself submitting to whatever Allah and His Messenger have said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا. The only saying of the people of Iman, of the believers, when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, when they differ over something, and they're called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, their only saying is, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. We have submitted to whatever Allah and His Messenger have decided. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ And they are the successful ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ And it's not appropriate for a believer, male or female, that once Allah has judged and decided in a matter, for them to have their own views, their own opinions. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, they have indeed gone far astray. And so among the things that Allah and His Messenger have taught us to believe in and to submit to is something which is from the very fitrah of human beings. And that is that Allah has created men and women differently. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى And a male is not like a female. They're different. Allah created both in a different way. Both with outward appearances that are different and also inwardly. The way they think, their emotions, and so on and so forth. The two are not the same. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded within us this natural attraction towards the opposite gender. And so, unless there are restrictions that have been put in place and guidelines to abide by with regards to these gender interactions, interacting with the opposite gender, unless we have certain restrictions in place, then it would lead to chaos. And it would basically lead to all kinds of problems that we witness before our eyes today. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He created us, He knows what is better for us. He knows what is suitable for each of the two genders. And He knows how a society can flourish and how it can function properly. And so based on that, He has made the laws that He has made. And so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden az-zina. Because it's not only harmful for the individual himself, but it impacts the entire society. And anything that Allah or His Messenger have made haram, whatever leads to it, whatever means lead to it, they are also haram. And this is not something I'm making up for myself, but rather it is one of the principles embedded within our Sharia. That anything that Allah or His Messenger has made haram, anything that leads to it, the steps that lead to it, are also haram. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He say about zina? He didn't just forbid it like He forbade many other things. Almost everything else in the Quran that Allah has forbidden, Allah simply says, don't do it. Do not associate partners with Allah. Do not disbelieve. Do not disobey Allah and His Messenger. Do not partake in riba. Do not kill. But when it came to az-zina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even come near zina. He didn't say, don't do it. He said, don't even come near, come close to it. Why? Because zina is not something that just happens out of the blue, just all of a sudden. But rather, there are steps that lead to it. There are steps, and many steps, not just one or two. There are many steps that lead to it. And so all of the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for governing the interactions between men and women, Allah placed these laws in order to protect the society, in order to protect our chastity, our iffah as individuals, but also to protect the society as a whole. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mandated the hijab. Why did Allah mandate the hijab? For this reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the believing men and the believing women to lower their gaze. Why? For this reason. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us not to be alone with another woman, that a man and a woman should not be in khalwa, to be private, alone. And this goes not only being physically present, but also through communication. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it, and he said that if the two are together, the third among them is shaitan. He mentioned this for this very reason. And also when Allah and His Messenger forbade what is known as al-ikhtilat, or free mixing between men and women, Allah and His Messenger did it for this very reason. To protect the society, to protect individuals, so that we don't end up ultimately in the end committing that major sin of zina. And so everything that Allah and His Messenger have forbidden, and these laws that we have governing our interaction between the genders, they were with this objective in mind. And so it is when we ignore these rules and these guidelines, it is when we ignore them and don't follow them and don't abide by them, whether it be as individuals in our personal lives or as organizations not implementing these rules and these guidelines, we end up having the results that we do.
Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa al-dhikr al-hakim. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه كان غفارا وتوبوا إليه إنه كان توابا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى وراقبوه في السر والنجوى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah. Fear Allah, be conscious of Allah, and that each and every single soul look to what He has sent for his tomorrow. Let each and every single one of us ask ourselves, what have I prepared for my akhirah? And fear Allah, have the taqwa of Allah, for indeed Allah is well aware of what you do. My dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to the society in which we live in, there's obviously very little that we can do to implement these guidelines and these laws that Islam has legislated governing gender interaction. And so this is where we need to have some kind of personal accountability and adhere to the commandments of Allah and to have the taqwa of Allah wherever we are, no matter what state we're in, at all times. And so when it comes to the hijab, no Muslim woman should say, I'm not going to bother wearing it because there's no law that is forcing me to wear it. When you're out there on the street and you have the option of either looking or lowering your gaze, you shouldn't say, I'm going to look, because there's no accountability. Here, there is personal accountability. And each and every single one of us will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not adhering to His commandments. But having said that, when it comes to our Islamic organizations and institutions, where we do have the ability to implement some of these laws, such as making sure that there is no free mixing between the genders, making sure that there is no interaction, making sure that men are easily able to lower their gaze and women are easily able to lower their gaze. When we have that ability to set up our personal spaces the way we want, this is where accountability rests on our Islamic organizations and institutions. And so, when we do not apply these rules, that is when we have the kind of scandals that we do, and the kind of scandals that we've been hearing about in the recent days, where a very famous Islamic institute, a scandal breaks out. And this same institution is one that promoted the free mixing of brothers and sisters. But unfortunately, this same organization
is not addressing the root cause of it. The root cause of it is when you allow that free mixing to take place. They're not addressing that. And so we say that wishing immorality between the believers, wishing that there are scandals that break out among the Muslims, this is the way of shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned that we speak about these scandals and that we spread them in our communities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who wish that immorality and indecency and immoral behavior spreads among the believers, for them is a painful punishment in this dunya and in the akhirah. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. And Allah knows and you do not know. And so it is our responsibility as Muslim organizations and institutions to prevent such scandals from happening. How? By tackling the root cause. By tackling the root cause, and that is free mixing, especially of the young, the teenagers and the youth. And by following whatever Islam has taught us regarding gender interactions. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, There can be no doubt that the allowing of women to freely mix with men is the root cause of every calamity and evil. And then he goes on to say, the free mixing of men and women is a cause for the increase of fahisha, of immorality, and zina. However, the problem is that our leaders and the leaders of our Muslim organizations today, they don't just ignore these rules, but they actually justify allowing free mixing to take place. Why? Because many of them are heavily influenced by Western society and culture and their values and their ideals. And so let us go back to what we mentioned in the very beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Whenever we differ over something, what does Islam teach? What does it not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only statement of the believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them, if we have differed over something, let us take it back to Allah and His Messenger. Their only statement, Allah says, their only statement when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to judge between them is that they say, we hear and we obey. Don't be like Ahlul Kitab before us, who when they were called to Allah and their messengers, they said, we hear, but we disobey. And so, what does the Quran say? And what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about free mixing? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. Allah says about the Sahaba that if they are to ask the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for anything, if they need something from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what should they do? They should only ask them for it from behind a veil, from behind a curtain. Ibn Kathir, he says, meaning, just as I have forbidden you from entering upon them, likewise, do not look at them at all. And if any of you has a need that requires taking something from them, he should not look at them nor ask for what he needs, except from behind a veil. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enforced segregation of the genders in the most revered, in the most pure of places, and that is the houses of Allah, the Masajid. And so he did this by first and foremost, separating the rows, by making the rows of the men to be in the front and the rows of the women to be in the back. This is not something that some scholars later on invented, but it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who did it when he said that the best rows for the men are the first rows and the best rows for the women are the back rows. Secondly, he assigned a special door for the women, which only they would enter and exit from. Thirdly, he asked the men to stay behind after Salah. After they were done praying, he asked the men to stay behind and let the women to first leave the masjid. Once they have left, then the men would leave. And so, if these measures were taken in the masjid, a place of nothing but pure worship, where the very last thing that a person would be thinking about is his personal desires and lusts, then how about all other places? Number three, we have a hadith narrated by Abu Usayd al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and this is in Sunan Abi Dawood. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once came out from the masjid, and he saw that the men and the women were together mixing as they were heading home. And so when he saw this scene, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, addressing the women, give way, as it is not appropriate for you to be walking in the middle of the path. And so my dear brothers and sisters, the point is that it is clear from these proofs and many others what Islam teaches about gender interaction and about segregation and about free mixing. And this is something that no scholar throughout our Islamic history ever disputed. You know, if it was something that there's a difference of opinion over, if it was something where the various schools of thought, they differed over this, then perhaps there could be flexibility. But there is not a single scholar throughout our Islamic history who has ever disputed this matter. And it was only in modern times when the enemies of Islam, they strove hard to disconnect the ummah from their past and replace our Islamic morals and values and ideals with their own. And unfortunately, many Muslims today have fallen into that trap, and they have adopted the morals and the values and the ideals of Western society. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us back to our deen and to bring us back to the understanding of our deen based on the best of generations, the first of generations. Finally, in conclusion, we have a very special program that we're going to be starting from tonight, and that is looking at the life of the best of mankind, going through the seerah, the biography of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to be starting this tonight, and it is open for everyone to come with your families for this weekly event that we're going to be having every Friday bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, starting tonight after Salatul Isha. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبيكم محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك على نبينا محمد، وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين، وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين المنكوبين في كل مكان. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز. اللهم الطف بإخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي غزة. اللهم احقن دماءهم واشف مرضاهم وتقبل شهداءهم وعافي مبتلاهم وأطعم جائعهم وانصر مجاهدهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم عليك بالصهاينة المعتدين ومن أعانهم على قتل إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم عليك بهم جميعا فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم اشدد وطأتك عليهم. اللهم أنزل عليهم بأسك الذي لا يرد عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم فرق جمعهم وشتت شملهم واجعلهم غنيمة للمسلمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.